Now, how many of you have ever planted a garden or something like that? Most of you? Now, I was looking for a plant for an illustration, but the only plant I found was this one, so this one doesn't grow very much. But when you plant something, what do you need for the seed to start germinating? What's needed? Moisture, right? Or water. So without water, how much can start to grow? Nothing. The seed can be there for a long time, but if there's no water, nothing grows. Now, how often does a plant need water? Does it only need it in the beginning? All the time. Now, how much does it need? Yeah, just enough. But if I take all the water that's needed for a plant to survive for all of its life, and I give it all at once, will it work? And then I don't need to give anymore? No. What happens then? It dies, right? Yeah, you'll drown it. And also, another thing, it doesn't matter how big a plant is. It doesn't matter how strong a tree is. If it doesn't get water, it will die, correct? Now, what's the purpose of planting? When you planted your garden, why did you plant? Was it to keep yourself busy? Or was it to have some fun? For exercise? Yeah, okay. But you could go running then. Why did you plant? Yeah? What's it useful? What are you looking for? It grows food, right? You want the fruit, is that correct? Most of you that planted, you wanted some fruit. It wasn't just to plant to see something grow. Now, in the Bible, conversions are referred to as the germination of a seed. In 1 Peter 1:23, the Bible says that we are born again, not of a corruptible seed, but of an incorruptible seed, even by the word of God. So this seed is compared to the new conversion. And the water, what do you suppose that represents? Someone said it. The Holy Spirit. Yes, let's look at that in Isaiah 44. Isaiah 44, verse 3 and 4. Isaiah 44, verse 3 and 4. It says, "For I will pour water on him who is thirsty, and floods on the dry ground. I will pour my spirit on your descendants, and my blessing on your offspring." So here we see that the water represents the Holy Spirit, correct? Now notice verse 4. "They will spring up among the grass like willows by the watercourses." So the human being is again represented as a plant growing. And in order for this plant to start growing, in order for a human being to start growing spiritually, what does it need? God's Spirit, correct? Now, can any conversion happen without the Spirit of God? No. But in order for the plant to grow, it doesn't only need the Holy Spirit in the beginning. It needs a constant supply of the Holy Spirit. Many people think that conversion is the only thing that's needed. But according to this verse, it says that they will spring up and they will grow up and you know, bear fruit. And this is so this in here we see that conversion is just the first beginning. It is when you accept Jesus that starts the process, but then we're supposed to grow as Christians. And why does Jesus plant us? Why does he water us? What's he looking for, if you would say? He's looking for fruit, is he not? And what's the fruit he's looking for? What's the fruit of the Spirit? You know it. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Gentleness, patience, self-control. These kinds of things, what could we say? We could say that these are character. This is character, right? God is looking for a good character. That's the fruit he is wanting to produce in us. That's why he's given us the Spirit. That's why he's cultivating us, in order for us to bear fruit. Now, many have got it wrong. They think God gives us the Spirit so that we can have gifts, you know? We can have the exercise of ecstatic gifts. Well, that's not the purpose of the gifts. That's not the end in and of itself. So the reason why God gives gifts is if he sees that the gifts are necessary in order to produce fruit. That's the purpose of the gifts. But the purpose why Jesus is planting us and working with us is so that we can bear fruit. Now, how can we bring forth fruit? Well, there are many things that we could mention, but I want to focus on the water, on the Spirit aspect. We need the water of the Holy Spirit. Now, did you know that we can have different measures of the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit, as we have seen in our studies, is a person. And just as I can have a better or a worse relationship with a person, in that sense, the Bible compares that to having more or less of the Holy Spirit, using the analogy of the water as the Holy Spirit. Now, we can think about some examples in the Bible. Elisha, he prayed for a double portion of the Spirit, correct? And in Matthew 25, the parable of the 10 virgins, we see that they were all waiting for the bridegroom, correct? They all had lamps. Now, what does the lamp represent? No? The Word of God, right? They all had the Word of God. And they all had oil. And what does oil represent? Yeah. The oil represents the Holy Spirit. Now, how many of them had oil? All of them had oil. Isn't that correct? But five of them had more oil than the others. The question in the end of time is not whether or not we have the Holy Spirit, but whether or not we have enough of the Holy Spirit. Now, how do we... What do we need to stand the test at the end of time? Well, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Let's look at Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1 and verse 5. Jesus is speaking and he's saying in Acts chapter 1 and verse 5, "For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." To be baptized with the Holy Spirit, what does it mean to be baptized in the Holy Spirit? Well, if we think about baptism, as Adventists we know, what does baptism mean? Is it sprinkling? A little sprinkling? Immersion. A little pouring? No. Immersion, right? Complete submersion into water. It's being dipped. That's the Swedish word for baptism, means to be dipped. And that's a good picture, I think. So, to be dipped into, not into water, but into the Holy Spirit. Now, what does that mean? Well, in the Bible, God compares us to a vessel. And let's say that this is a vessel. And if I put this vessel into a bucket of water, I baptize it, I dip it, what will happen to the vessel? If I take an empty vessel and I put it down, it gets filled, correct? So the baptism of the Spirit is the same as the filling of the Spirit. You're being filled up. So that is what Jesus is telling us that is going to happen again in our time. It happened at Pentecost. The disciples, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, it says. They were baptized in the Spirit. Now, how many of you would like to be baptized in the Spirit? And what do we need to do in order to receive the Spirit? Well, you know what it says in Luke chapter 11 and 13? God is more willing to give good gifts to his than we are to give good gifts to our children. And he's more willing to give the Holy Spirit to those who ask. So the criterion is to ask for the Holy Spirit. That's what the disciples were doing. They were praying also for the Holy Spirit, and they received an answer to their prayers. But actually, you might say that, well, I did already ask. So why am I not like the apostles? Well, this is a good question. In fact, if you study Acts, you see that they were not only filled with the Holy Spirit once, but they were filled with the Holy Spirit many times. In Acts. You see in Acts 4 and 8, and Acts 4:31, Acts 13:52, it says that they were constantly, again and again and again, being filled with the Holy Spirit. So actually, the filling of the Spirit or the baptism of the Spirit is not a one-time event. It is something that is an ongoing thing, a daily thing, if you would. Now, why is that? Why is there a need for more outpourings of the Holy Spirit? Remember the plant again, as we talked about it. It doesn't only need water once, but it needs a constant filling of water. There are two reasons why we need to ask for the Holy Spirit over and over again. And one of them we find in John chapter 7. John chapter 7 and verse 37 39. Actually, I can say it right up front. The first reason is because we leak. Because we leak. John 7, verse 37 through 39. It says, on the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." But this he spoke concerning the what?
The Spirit,
whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. So he's comparing again the Spirit to water. And he's saying that we are to be filled with the Holy Spirit. But then, for some reason, we leak. And we might say, oh, that's horrible. We shouldn't leak. We should keep the Holy Spirit inside of us. But, you know, if water is just still, what happens to the water? If you put it away for many days or many weeks, it starts to stink, correct? And so God wants the water to flow through us. And why? In order to flow to others, so that others can also receive the blessings, the living water. And so this is one reason that we need a constant filling of the Spirit, because we actually leak. And the other reason is because of Reformation. And what do I mean by that? Well, as we are filled with the Holy Spirit, one of the works of the Holy Spirit is to convict us of sin, according to John 16 and 8. He convicts us of sin. And has that ever happened to you, that you've prayed about the filling of the Holy Spirit and something has happened and you've been convicted that, you know, this thing is not right in my life? Anyone confess that that's happened ever to you? It's happened to me many times. And This is the work of the Holy Spirit. And the purpose that God gives us the water again is so that we can produce fruit. And the sins in our life hinder us from producing the fruit that Jesus wants. Let's turn to Acts 5 and 32. says, "And we are his witnesses to these things, and so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who" what? "Who obey him." Very interesting. To me, this is a bit contradictory, because we read in Luke that, you only need to ask. That's the criterion. You need to ask to be filled with the Holy Spirit, but here it says that we ought to obey in order to receive the Holy Spirit. So is there a contradiction? I don't think so. You know, God wants to bring sin out of our lives and fill us with the good characteristics. And you can say, if you think about the vessel again, let's say that I have lots of stones in this vessel. And let's say now that I ask for the filling of the Spirit and I'm baptized, okay, in the Spirit. How much water do I have? It says 750 milliliters on this one. If I have lots of stones, do I have 750 milliliters? No. Now compare the sins to the stones. This is the problem. We cannot take so much of the Holy Spirit if there are sins in our lives. That's why the Holy Spirit is coming in to convicting us. He's convicting us of sin so that we may give him it over some stones. And then what can happen? Well, we can be filled with more water, more of the Holy Spirit. And the fact is that God is more willing to give the Holy Spirit than we are to give good gifts to our children. And he just wants to pour as much of the Holy Spirit over us as we are able to bear. But what happens if we, as we said in the beginning, what happens if we water a plant too much? It will die, right? Like, can you have too much of the Holy Spirit? That's a good question, right? I would say yes. Not that it is... the problem is, of course, with ourselves. Because what's the problem? If the soil is not right... If the soil is bad, it cannot take so much water. If it's good soil, it can soak up a lot of water. And so if we prepare our hearts, we're able to receive more of the Holy Spirit. But if we have sins in our lives, then if God would pour out the full measure of the Spirit into our lives, what would happen to us? I think we would die. Right. And we couldn't take the glory of God. You know, at the end of time, Ellen White says that our faces will shine even. You know, we will be completely filled with the Holy Spirit, and it will physically shine. But we cannot take that in our present state. That is why we need reformation. Reformation and revival needs to go hand in hand with each other. God is willing... God is willing to give us of the Holy Spirit, but if we cannot receive it, he is only giving us as much as we can receive. And that's actually the mercy of God. That's why he says that we need to obey in order to receive more of the Holy Spirit. So this is like two legs. Revival is the filling of the Spirit, and reformation, they are two legs. So you can't just have one of them. You say, yeah, I'll fill filled with the Spirit, and then you're not moving anywhere. And you will break in pieces. So you need to have one step. You're filled with the Spirit. The Spirit convicts you of a sin. You say, Lord, here, take this part, this thing that you convict me of. And then we can take that step. And then we can take the next, be filled with more of the Holy Spirit. And in this way, we can be led by the Spirit and go forward. So, do you want the baptism of the Spirit? How badly do you want it? Now be careful what you say, because you know what will happen if you are filled with the Holy Spirit. There might be things in your life that the Holy Spirit will start convicting you about. Are you willing to give those things up then? And to make room for the Holy Spirit? If that is your desire, I would like to ask you to kneel together with me as we pray and claim the promises in Luke 11 that he will give us the Holy Spirit. Is that your desire? Then I would invite you to kneel. Holy Father, we're so thankful for your promises, for the promises in your word, that you've said that you are more willing to give the Holy Spirit than we are to give good gifts to our children. And Lord, we just pray that you will fill us with your Spirit, that you will baptize us in your Spirit. And Lord, we also, by kneeling, say that we are willing to surrender whatever stones are in our vessel that prevent you from filling us completely. And Lord, we just want to pray that you will guide us step by step so that we may eventually be filled with the Holy Spirit, that we may be among the wise virgins that await your coming. This is my prayer for each of us. In Christ's name, amen.